Well, it's just occurred to me, you know, talking about hope for the future, that we started off talking about the restoration of tractors and cars and clocks, as you say, with the clock stuck there at 20 to 7 when it's 11:30 in the morning. I need to do a bit of work on that. But, you know, you're talking about what has sustained us and strengthened us and given us hope through the pandemic. And I guess I would say that it's a theme through ministry, really, is this business of restoration, that God can continue and in an ongoing manner will restore us, his people. And I hold out the same hope for the church, you know. And, well.
How much is that predated by lamentation and forgiveness? To pick up on what Tom Wright was saying.
Yes, well, I was very impressed that he said, you know, we mustn't just wipe away what has gone before in our enthusiasm to rebuild, which was his where he was heading to with his Hope Renewed talk, wasn't it? And I thought it was words of great wisdom, really, that we need to lament and, you know, acknowledge the pain and the heartache that's gone before. Now, I suppose in terms of a restoration project, that would equate to not papering over the cracks. You know, if you've got a rusty car, not just getting out the body filler and whacking it in there to cover up all the difficulty and the pain of the past experience. You know, it's all too easy to paper over cracks and pretend that things are okay when perhaps underneath there are still issues to be dealt with. And I thought that was what the lamenting and the sorrow, as we look to offer hope to people, was about. You know, we've got to be real, haven't we? I always find the last chapter of Revelation to be one of the most inspiring passages when we talk about hope. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among the mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." I always find that a tremendous vision of hope, especially for those for whom the tears are flowing now. And, you know, talking about our churches together, there won't be a church amongst our fellowship in churches together in Chelmsford that hasn't had direct and first-hand experience of mourning and loss due to the pandemic, or perhaps due to all the knock-on things, which are still going to be with us for some time. You know, the delayed and deferred medical procedures, the lack of treatment because people didn't feel they wanted to trouble the doctor. You know, these things are all going to play out and have their impact, and there will be...
This pingdemic that people are talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the consequence on supply chains.
And yeah, absolutely. If, you know, if things went badly wrong in terms of, you know, getting food to the shops, you know, it is potentially serious. I'll never forget my first pandemic memory really was queuing round the block at the Aldi over at the Clock Tower Trading Estate there. And we were queued for, well, yards and yards and yards. And I'll never forget the sort of apocalyptic feel that it engendered. We have lived through something extraordinary. And, well, not all have lived through it, of course. But in the midst of it all, we've been called upon to proclaim that God is with us in this. And words like these, that he will wipe the tears away from our eyes when all things are restored, become essential as something we build our hope upon.
So for better or worse, I suggested that we look at how this fits with Isaiah 61, where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Well, no. Where the prophet says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In that it's got a full stop there, I stop. And I wondered if you'd been able to see examples, for example, of freedom for captives, release for prisoners. Praise instead of mourning.
Well, I think whatever we can say about the restrictions and the limitations that we as churches have experienced, there's been absolutely no question that we've not carried on being church. You know, there's been no question, as far as I can see, that we are any the less God's people. And in that sense, faith has sustained people, regardless of whether they're able to get out on a Sunday morning or not. Or at least, you know, this has been my experience. And in terms of the Lord's favour, you know, it's pretty tough to use language of the year of the Lord's favour. I don't know if I would want to say we're in that year now, but there have been favourable things in amongst the challenges of this last year and a half. For example, the way in which technology has been used as a tool for sharing the life of church and proclaiming the Christian message. I'd never done anything digital really in terms of ministry very regularly, and I'm an IT enthusiast. It's another of the things that I like to restore is a broken down computer, but I'd never used such tools very seriously in day-to-day ministry, but I've jolly well had to in the past year and a half. And some of the most effective things have been some of the simplest. So me and my two Methodist colleagues decided we would offer evening prayers, just a short time of prayer each evening, 7 o'clock on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. We'd take it in turns. We simply picked up our phones and press go live it really was as simple as that, and offered 10 to 15 minutes of devotions and prayers and the reading of scripture. And I wouldn't say we've gone viral, but we have offered something to people which has been warmly received. And back in the height of lockdown, I would get 50, 60 people look at my evening prayers, not all live at the time, perhaps 15 or so would be watching live, and they could make comments, which was lovely. But over the course of the next day or so, a number of other people would watch it and also make comments. And the incredible thing was, many of these folks were way beyond Chelmsford. They were Facebook friends of mine, and my colleagues had the same experience. And many of them were folks beyond the life of church. And I've had wonderful engagement with people who, you know, perhaps would never ordinarily have got involved in any prayer kind of ministry that the church was offering. If I organised a prayer meeting at one of my churches, I'd be lucky to get half a dozen, let alone a dozen every Friday watching live, and then, you know, 30, 40 people watching there afterwards. It's been relatively simple, and it seems to be something that has sustained and blessed people. It's been quite remarkable, really, the simplicity of it. And at the moment, we're carrying on offering that. Whether we will into the long-term future, I don't know. But it's been interesting to see the ways in which favourable things can be drawn out of years that certainly don't feel like the Lord's favour. I think there's going to be a whole realm of ministry that is going to be needing to unfold in coming months. Because the mourning process has been very much limited, really. As people haven't been able to attend funerals in the normal way. At the beginning of the pandemic, there was talk about, well, we'll have a memorial or Thanksgiving service for loved ones, when this is all behind us. The idea being that that might be 2 or 3 months' time, you know. But I think it's probably going to be not what some families will want, to try and revisit the funeral, as it were, with the Thanksgiving. But I'm thinking of some more communal kind of ministry to those who have lost loved ones in the past year and a half, and whose celebrations of their lives were, you know, very much thwarted. And I'm wondering if All Saints and All Souls this year is maybe going to be in a significant opportunity for offering something along those lines.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're new to the area, and as you said earlier, you've only had 6 months or so before the pandemic.
Yes.
Have you managed to get any sort of relationships supporting you in terms of other ministers of other denominations as well as your own?
There's been, through the ecumenical partnership churches, which some of our Methodist churches are involved in, there has been engagement with other ministers along those lines, but just like everything else, it's been not as simple as it ordinarily would be. You know, some of the online events like the shared Zoom services with the friends at Sandon and St. Augustine's, that they're good examples of the way in which we did come together, you know, despite the staying at home. But I think what I've found difficult is that all the peripheral conversation is what is stripped out of those kinds of encounters. You do your thing for the Zoom.
And Zoom can only support one conversation at a time.
This is the weakness of it, isn't it? You just can't float around. I know you can have the breakout rooms and that sort of thing.
Very, very rigid.
Yes, and you can't talk over each other.
Right.
In a Zoom breakout room, in the way that, you know, conversation around a table might. And I've been involved in the Anglia Ruskin University Chaplaincy Council.
Yeah.
And there's a whole raft of people in those meetings, which I've only ever attended on Zoom. And I'm very conscious that I haven't been able to get to know that group of people because we're from many different places for a start, but there's none of that extra conversation around the meeting. And I think it's definitely been harder. Mm-hmm. At least I had the 6 months,
yes,
you know, to get a head start. And I did meet a lot of people in that time, done a number of pastoral visits, which is perhaps one of the hardest things that's been stripped out of ministry in the pandemic. But I'm very mindful that, you know, other people have started appointments since lockdown, and that'd be even harder. So count me blessings when I can.